Welcome to yet another call. This time we had a chat with Reginald, the co-founder of Bitcash. We discussed about the Bitcash project, as well as their latest project, the Uhuru Wallet. We also went deep into the South African space, the challenges, the regulations, and he provided some great insights into the space in Southern Africa. Take a listen. First of all, I just wanted for you to give us an overview of Bitcash, where it is right now, since we last covered the story, before maybe we can discuss about your new initiatives.
All right, sure. All right, so with Bitcash,
yes,
we haven't really expanded to any other countries. We still just predominantly Zimbabwe and South Africa, with a few people from Namibia, Swaziland, and Lesotho, who have access to South African banks, also utilizing the service. But the issue that we've encountered over the last few, maybe 12 months with Bitcash, has been that since our solution is, the last mile of it is digital, and with everything that's been going on in the country with regards to the local currency, the Zimbabwean currency, and its parity with other currencies, there's been a bit of a pushback in terms of people wanting hard currency. So in as much as we had expected a bit of growth, I think over the last few months we saw that the curve was flattening, and we didn't really get as much growth as we had anticipated, because of the fact that the recipients themselves in the Zimbabwean end were actually opting for other currencies outside of the Zimbabwean currency. 3 times, what's happened in the last 12 months, we've seen that in the last 3-4 weeks, owing to the shutdown. And I think what that's shown us is that it's not a matter of people not knowing about the product. It's just that they have been shunning it due to what I've been telling you about the currency issue. That's possibly why we ended up with a new solution that we introduced, because some of the issues that people were citing on top of the currency issue were issues to do with compatibility of the application on their phones, or even just regular connection of internet or space in their phones or whatever it is. So we had the web app, which we'd also trying to push on to people, so people who couldn't download or who had issues with logging in could actually access our services through our web platform. But that didn't really take off. We just had a few people that were able to go that route.
In the last piece that we did, I think you had put out the numbers in the range of about 5,000 downloads. How are the numbers now? Because you mentioned over the last 3-4 weeks, you've seen a huge uptake of the product.
Now we are moving times 3 that, like over the last few weeks. We're moving this, times 3 what we were moving at that point. But then from that time until last month, there was no significant growth in the numbers. If anything, we started noticing that we were not growing, or we're actually losing a bit of bit of numbers due to people just liking the fact that we were issuing software. So we ended up being a platform for specific payments, and that's what we've been pushing so far. Just been pushing people that wanted to do grocery shopping, people that wanted to do school fees payments, or you know, those particular things that people actually know that I am sending this money because people at home want to do 1, 2, 3, as opposed to the normal use for remittances where people send money for like sustenance in general. Say that I'm sending you $50 for the whole month or whatever it is. And we still have a lot to do in terms of getting the brand out there. Like people, you see that they don't know about us, or they don't actually, the like credibility of the platform to say that LinkedIn Ignite tracks. One of the first questions is always, how do I know that my recipient is going to get the money? Mm-hmm. So we still have battles with those kind of things. And especially with our name, Bitcash, when someone hears that that name, the first thing that comes to their mind is probably that we are into cryptos. And obviously that most people, they don't really, they're not necessarily accepting of cryptocurrency as yet. So they're always very skeptical to use the services. And those are the challenges we've had to deal with.
Something else also you mentioned is, I found it kind of interesting that there are over a million Zimbabweans living and working in South Africa. So out of that huge number, what would you say is the market potential for Bitcash in such a situation, or out of their million Zimbabweans, how many are you servicing with Bitcash?
Well, I think now we've got about how many active users? I'd say in total, when we look at people on the iOS, people on the Android, people who also access the web app, we still haven't gotten past the 10,000 mark. I think it's about 9,000 the last time I checked. So we barely scratched the surface even 2 years after we opened. I think it goes down to utility and also just things like storage on the phone, things like bandwidth, those kind of things. Because with utility, and what I mean is for Bitcash, the only thing that they know that they can use it for is to send money home. So people are not going to use the whatever space they have, or people are not going to take time to download an application which they only use once in a month, I think. So we've been trying to do to spread the merchant or agent service to people. But there's been a bit of pushback in that regard as well, with regards to, because you know, foreigners living, I mean, people living in a foreign country are always very skeptical when it comes to showing the particular to different people. What I mean by that is, let's say, KYC requires people to upload their passports. And here is an agent for Bitcash who wants to register somebody. But then for that registration to take place, they need their passports and everything. So the challenge with that is that if you are undocumented, you're not going to allow someone else to get in on that information. You always want to appear as though you are sorted and your papers are in order. Just to avoid any unnecessary exposure. So I think that's one of the reasons why our agent model has not really taken off. because it's a bit informal, in the sense that we don't have partnered with agents who are in businesses such as the people who operate internet cafes, people who operate salons, those kind of people. So we've ended up seeing that those guys make transactions on their own behalf, even though the transactions are not actually from them. And that's due to that fact that people are not very comfortable sharing their KYC particulars.
How are the regulatory challenges there?
All right. So fortunately, for both the jurisdictions that we are operating in, the regulators have come up with sandbox platforms where they are going to invite or allow fintech startups to operate from. So previously, it's not been very accepting of, you know, things like cryptos, things like all these other new mobile money services that are coming up. But we're very hopeful. It looks like going forward, there's going to be at least a framework that's going to be used. So you say maybe it's a monitored environment where you're allowed to operate in, and then as opposed to previously when the regulator was just like putting a ban on cryptos or anything related to that. I think we've noticed that over the last few months, they started showing a bit of interest, and I think looking going forward, we're probably going to see positive changes in the space of regulation, where people are going to start collaborating with the new players to see how best to go about things. But yeah, it's been hard looking back.
All right. Yeah, definitely. We hope to see, you know, friendly regulation so that, you know, more adoption can happen.
Yeah, and that's the only way, because once the fintechs are regulated, or once they start getting recognition from the central banks, then it puts everyone else at ease. Because right now it's always an issue to even state that your platform is based on whichever blockchain. Because people actually, their red flags go up. They're like, oh, this is one of those. As opposed to just coming out with the service and not even mention what your back end looks like. Mm-hmm. In which case, people just jump onto it as a normal service.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, we even noticed that with Bitcash, when we stopped talking about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, we had an improvement in the numbers and in the acceptance. Mm-hmm. But then, obviously, we didn't want to change the name and everything, so we just left it like that. Mm-hmm. But with this new product, we decided to just go on a different kind of route in terms of the naming of it, just explain, because for us, we just was trying to express how free people become when they are using it, able to use it from wherever they are to make payments to wherever else. That's the goal. We tried to stay away from terminology that will associate us with things that people are not very accepting of.
All right. Now, speaking of your new service, you have a new product, you have a new stable coin. I mean, tell us a little bit about that.
All right. So basically, like, from the feedback that we were getting with our initial offering, Bitcash, you know, things like, no, your application, because people are always asking, can you please transact for me? I don't have it on my phone, or I don't have data, or I, you know, there was always an excuse. this is someone chatting with you on WhatsApp. They say, I don't have data, or I don't have space on my phone, or that thing kept crashing. No, or everything. Just they just had a lot of things to say about the platform. So with all that in mind, we thought maybe it's either we go with something that people are already using, like a social media platform. And obviously WhatsApp is one of the most popular applications. And then that's about the time as well that we started learning more about the Stellar blockchain and how it's very suitable for payments and, you know, those remittances, you know, the spaces that we are actually very interested in. So that's how we came about with the combination. We were just like, maybe it is time for us to put those things together, put this something that people already use on a blockchain that is new and very easy to integrate with all the other systems that are out there. And that's where we ended up with. The challenge of USSD is that we obviously need to coordinate with the telcos. And there's always an issue with that coordination, because obviously all the telcos now in the country have their own platforms, money transfer platforms. So to then sit down with them, start a new conversation of, you know, we've got a new offer that wants to do it, this and that. It's always, it sounds more like a conflict for them than anything. So we decided to first go at it from a WhatsApp standpoint, because in that way we don't really need to go through much of the discussions which are required to take off or to get the thing off the ground. So right now, what people can do with the platform is, okay. So another thing with Uhuru, why we decided to do it, because like I was explaining with Mitkesh, there's limited utility in terms of what people can do with it. So we decided to come up with something that applies maybe to day-to-day kind of activities that people take part in. So we wanted the platform which would include sending money even within the country, and airtime purchase, buying electricity, you know, those random things, and DSTV payments. We also included payments for, I'm not sure if you are aware of the product Avon. And then there's another one in South Africa called Inuka. Those ones we just added because people were just coming in to us with those inquiries when we were on Bitcash. So yeah, that's basically what Uhuru is about. It's a WhatsApp-based platform, which based on Stellar, and is for facilitating peer-to-peer payments within and without your borders, and it's also for these direct payments that people make regularly.
What's the technical challenge or the unique ability that Stellar blockchain has over other blockchains to enable that?
All right. So, well, for us, what we are looking for basically is just a platform that allows, because what we want, the end goal for us basically is to have a platform that allows people to instantly make payments to the next person from wherever they are. So the issue with Stellar is that they have that, the blockchain itself has that ability to actually make a payment and make an exchange the same transaction. So for example, someone has Rand, let's say, and then they buy our stable coin, our Rand stable coin. If there is another matching or matching transaction in the opposite direction, the blockchain that we're using is able to match with that. And Stellar is best suited for us because of that ability to just clear transactions and clear instantly, even though they are based on different currencies. If I have there with my rand, you are there with your shilling, you know, I'm able to just make a transaction and it's converted instantly and you receive your funds in your, the currency that you prefer. So this is a blockchain that allows for that. So that's what that was basically. It was an easy pick for us, if I can say, because in as much as people don't trade the Stellar Lumens, for where we have started right now, where we created a stable coin, we are going to create a corresponding stable coin in different markets. For example, in Zimbabwe. And between Zimbabwe and South Africa, there's always money moving in the different directions. So if there's a platform that will allow the exchange of those, that will implement a trust platform that will allow for the exchange of those funds, I think that's something that will probably change the game altogether. Because it's been a struggle to say who is going to move first. That's always the issue with people who are trying to make transactions between countries. Who's the first mover? So we are here with a platform. We are probably going to launch as well an exchange to better facilitate this, because we understand that the wallet in itself is just going to facilitate those smaller payments, in which most of them we probably will be there. The one that induces liquidity on the other end. But if we introduce an exchange, what's going to happen is everyone from either end is going to be able to participate, and that will help us to also manage the liquidity of it.
Okay. You also mentioned that this wallet, the Uhuru wallet, will be... The main target is individuals, while you leave Bitcash to corporates. So
yes, so
yes. Can you?
That's the plan. So what's happening with Uhuru is I don't know if like a serious payment would be the best. Kind of transaction to perform over WhatsApp. That's only the issue there. But at the end of it all, we are going to have someone who wants to make a direct payment, let's say on behalf of a company or to a company, do it on the either the web app or the Bitcash app. And then for these other people, that small traders who are doing Avon representatives or DSTV agents, those kind of payments, they're going to obviously be better suited with the Uhuru platform. And also the guys that, so what we want to do basically with Uhuru is to service people living in South Africa primarily. What I mean by that is we want to allow those guys to have access to the digital economy, basically. So if, because those guys don't have access to banks right now, because let's say you don't have enough documentation which the banks require. So Uhuru is going to be integrated with some of the recognized financial institutions so that people have access to, let's say, digital payments. We're trying to partner with e-commerce platforms, which would allow those people who are previously just using cash to have access to things like online shopping, for example. That's where the goal is. We're trying to basically put the people previously using cash onto a digital platform that will allow them to have a track record. And in the next few years, we are probably going to introduce things like your savings packages, things like credit, things like insurance, because of the digital track record that we have built for each one of our users. So essentially what we're trying to do is to bank these people. Because in South Africa, even though the financial services are better than everywhere else, like in Africa, there's still a great number of people who are still excluded in terms of access to financial services. So yeah, that's basically what we're trying to do, so that the next time someone tries to tip the car guard, they are able to send them a token through Uhuru. Next time someone tries to pay their maid, for example, they're able to send them a token through Uhuru. And then what we will probably need to work towards in that respect is the how to cash out those funds, because not all these people currently have access to WhatsApp, so they may not be able to actually make payments through WhatsApp. I don't know if that makes it. So we will probably start by having them receive it and being able to cash out. And then as time goes on, we will try to issue them with cards that they can use in then selected facilities. So we're still in discussion with the recognized financial institutions who are going to help us with that. So basically, that's what that's the main difference between these two.
All right.
Bitcash is going to just be for payments, and then this is going to be a wallet that people actually use for their day-to-day kind of activities, that they can receive money into, they can send money from, can make payments with, and in future we're going to start having them make savings and accessing credit and insurance to that.
Do you see this being a game changer in the space?
Oh yes, most definitely. So number one thing, the main impact of this is going to be cost, because the problem with the many of the services that are out there is cost. We are going to significantly cut down the transaction costs involved when sending money, and convenience. The money that is sent to let's say across borders is going to be accessible there and then, because that's not something that happens now. At the moment, when someone sends you money, you obviously need to go into a brick and mortar facility to collect your funds. But this is going to allow either someone to send directly to your mobile wallet or to give you as Uhuru credit. So if it's Uhuru credit, you are able to cash out from your next person. The next person might be someone that wants to, let's say, make an SA payment or whatever it is. So this is going to be a way of putting people on one platform that they will be able to trade the Uhuru token peer-to-peer with either cash or mobile money, depending on what they agree. And then we just get a commission from those transactions. But it will introduce a great deal of convenience in that people are not going to have to go out there to, especially let's say in the circumstances that we're in now, if the big remittance company is closed, you're not able to access it. But if someone has Uhuru credit and they need cash, and then they post on a group, let's say a WhatsApp group, to say, I've got 100 Uhuru tokens and I need cash. That's something that can be facilitated amongst peers with no hassle. And that's not been happening previously. What else? Cost, convenience, and the speed, just in terms of the time it takes to clear the transactions, is just way faster than it is with current services. So yeah, we expect it to really impact the way things are done in terms of remittances.
I know you mentioned the stablecoins are yet to be launched. Any timelines? When can we expect this to start rolling out?
Next 3-4 months. The main aim right now is to increase utility of the token, let's say in South Africa, because that's our main area that we want to address. So what we want to do in that regard is we want to introduce cards that you can use to swipe for your product or online payment or whatever it is. So that's something that's on the cards for the immediate, like in the next 3-4 months. So that's where we want to introduce the whole airtime, electricity bill payment, and also that functionality where you are actually able to access your funds using cards. So that plan is going to happen in the next 3-4 months before we start spreading to other countries in the SADC region. Because by August, we plan to be in about three more countries. We are hoping to settle a partnership deal with someone in Nigeria. There are guys in Nigeria who we are in discussion with. And we also want to do Malawi and then by August. So that's basically what's on the immediate schedule. To say by the end of the year, we should have expanded to three more countries: Mozambique, Malawi, Nigeria, in terms of remittances. And then within South Africa, we want to have added the debit card and bill payments, those extra services that people use daily.
Do you see a time where, or are you planning also to enable transfer funds, say maybe between Bitcash and Uhuru Wallet? Because I also noticed Bitcash has its own stablecoin, and now Uhuru has its own stablecoin. Do you see those two services working together, or you want them to remain independent?
From my opinion, I think it's going to be really difficult to separate them, even though we may want to do that. They're probably going to feed off of each other in a sense. So I think it's going to be possible for you to access funds. That's the beauty of the Stellar blockchain, in that it allows for interoperability even with other tokens. Like, you can trade Bitcoin within a Stellar blockchain. So I think it's not going to be a big issue if you wanted to integrate the two. So yeah, we can't rule it out at this point. I think it's something that you can look into.
Okay. Any last words, maybe for anybody who's interested, to learning more what you're doing?
Yeah, sure. So basically, what we are trying to create as Uhuru is that borderless wallet. So we are obviously open to any conversations which lead to some form of collaboration with people in markets that we have not yet gone into. I think it's possible to establish United Africa with this advent of technology such as the blockchain and artificial intelligence. So we obviously want to invite anyone who is interested in this space and who is able to obviously contribute positively to the financial inclusion of those people that are currently marginalized or that have no access at all to financial services. And yeah, we hope that in the next 5 years, we would have contributed in our small way to the attainment of a digital economy for the African population.
Okay. Any website that people can go visit to learn more about your these services and products?
All right. For Uhuru, it's www.uhuruwallet.com. Mm-hmm. And for Bitcash, it's www.bitcash.com.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.
They can get in touch with us on email at info@uhuruwallet.com.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Mr. David, for your time.
Thank you.